Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Boy, we're about to move into something pretty gross right here. You see this in Scripture a good bit, you know. And this is one of these passages that I will tell people about. Oh, you think the Bible's boring? You think it doesn't have excitement, intrigue, et cetera, et cetera? Well, this passage does. So we're in 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter, and we've looked at the first 12, 13 verses of it. And what's going on here is that someone has arisen against King David, Sheba, the son of Bichri. Remember that? David sends Amasa out because he was over the army. David had decommissioned Joab because Joab had walked in rebellion. He'd killed Absalom, David's son, against the direct order of David. And so David made Amasa leader of the army. Amasa was going forth to catch this dude, Sheba, and he encountered Joab, and Joab comes up to him and just acts all nice and everything and proceeds to just thrust a sword into his entrails and kills him. And the previous episode, we left it off with Amasa just dead, bleeding in the middle of the highway, and the men didn't know what to do. So one of the guys arose, removed Amasa's body from the highway. Then all the men joined Joab. So let's start right there in verse 13. As soon as he was removed from the highway, and that's the dead Amasa, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. So they joined forces with Joab, who had been the leader previously. They knew who he was, okay? Now, verse 14, listen to this. Now, he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel. That's speaking to Sheba. You don't know initially, but you figure it out here. He goes to the tribes of Israel to Abel, even Beth Maacah, and all the Betharites. And they were gathered together and also went after him. So he gained other people with him. Verse 15. Then they came and besieged him in Abel Beth Maacah. So he is hiding in Abel, Sheba is. And now they're besieging him. They found out where he is. Verse 15. And they cast up a siege ramp against the city. And it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to topple the wall. And so this is a walled city, Abel Beth Maacah, and they're coming against it, and they're going to get this guy out. And so they're besieging it, which means they're cutting off the water supply, they're cutting all the food supply. Here is apparent, they're not going to take much time with this. They're trying to tear down the wall. They're building a siege ramp, in other words, a ramp where they can just walk up the ramp to the wall and conquer it. So the city is in trouble. Listen to this, verse 16. Then a wise woman called from the city. Now, let me pause for a moment. Notice a wise woman, a woman that's got some sense here. She cries out from the city. Okay? I don't know if she's on the wall or whatever it is, probably. She's crying out and she says this, "Here, here. Please tell Joab, come here, that I may speak with you." So here, you got Mama yelling from the wall. You've got Meemaw yelling from the wall down to the soldiers, and she's saying, "Hey, tell Joab to come here. I want to talk with him." Verse 17. So Joab approached her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." And so she's walking in deference to him. "Your maidservant, listen to the words. I've got something to say here." But she's honoring him, and he honors her in a reciprocal fashion. He says, "I am listening." Verse 18. And then she spoke, saying, "Formerly, they used to say, they will surely ask advice at a ball. And thus they ended the dispute." So what's she talking about? Well, apparently Abel, this city right here, used to be a place that was known for its wisdom, for its advice, for its mediation. This is the phrase. It was a little proverbial thing. They would say, they will surely ask advice at Abel, and thus they ended the dispute. They will ask for advice there. They would go there for mediation. This city was known for this. Verse 19, she continues, "I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Jerusalem. You are seeking to destroy a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? So she's asking some legit questions here. She's saying, why are you attacking us? And why are you doing this? I'm peaceful. I'm faithful to Israel. And you're seeking to destroy the city. You're seeking to destroy a mother in Israel, me. Why are you wanting to swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Well, Joab comes back and says, hey, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Such is not the case. But a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, has lifted up his hand against King David. Only hand him over, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said to Joab, behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall. Now, this woman has some pull. This woman has some influence. This woman was highly respected within the walled city. For her to be able to say that in what we're about to see here in just a moment. But she finds out, she clarifies what's going on. Now, let me tell you, when Joab started attacking, Joab started doing this, where were the men asking why he's doing this? Where were the men saying, hey, what's going on? Why is he doing this? It takes time to come against a wall. It takes time to build a ramp and start doing all that kind of stuff. So, verse 22. Then the woman wisely came to all the people. So she just doesn't make this decision of her own. She does declare it to Joab that this is what I'm planning on doing and this is what will happen. But she goes to all the people. She wisely comes to all the people. The next phrase. And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. We've seen this phrase several times so far, that when they had a victory and when something's over with, blowing the trumpet means it's done. The battle's over. And they dispersed from the city, each to his own tent. Everybody goes home. The army disbands. Their purpose had been gained. Even Joab returns to the king at Jerusalem. Then the last few verses of this 20th chapter, there's four short ones, give us insight as to the timing, who was in charge, what was going on. We use these things to understand the flow of what was happening with David's kingdom. Listen to this, verse 23. Now Joab was over the whole army of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the forced labor, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was the recorder, and Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jairite was also a priest to David. Tells us what the status of the leadership was after this particular episode and what was going on. Primary importance to us was that Joab was over the entire army right here. We've seen these other things, Zadok and Abiathar, they were still priests, and there's this other guy that was priest. But I love the way that the wise woman handled this. She came and literally said, what are you doing, and why are you doing it? Joab tells her what's going on. He says, hand this guy over to us. Well, she takes it a step further. Tell you what we'll do. We'll throw his head over the wall to you. She didn't want to open the door or do anything for a prisoner exchange right here. She's not quite sure what's happening with this. Does Joab really mean this? Is this really what was going on? They go on as she consults with the people. It is unsaid, but I feel sure they went with Sheba, and talked with him, did all this kind of stuff, found out what was going on while he was there, lopped his head off, sent it back, and the story ends well. Woo! Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.